So I have a question for you. Let's take this test. How many half empty people do I have in here? Or half empties, raise your hand. Half empties. Okay. How many half full people? Okay. Do we drive you crazy? Half empties? It's like everything's okay. Realists. They're realists. Be grateful you have a glass. So we're all different, right? And I know it was really funny because Karen and I were talking. I call her my little hare because last week we talked about the tortoise and the hare, and we're very much, let's just go do this and we'll be done. And all of a sudden we get sidetracked. Something shiny, ooh, we'll be here. But we're all kind of different. And the scripture you talked about, Romans 12:1, was actually what I was going to talk about this morning, and you read it. So we already had that part. But I wanted just to say one thing. Gratefulness is not a natural quality that we have. Gratefulness is a learned quality. And it takes our attention, and it takes our mind, and it takes our discipline to be grateful. Because let me tell you, you will always feel like you don't have enough in your flesh. You always feel like you don't have what you're supposed to have, whether it's talent, you know. Now, some of you look at some people and sing like, okay, David, I loved hearing you sing this morning. That was wonderful. Amen. But some people might say, oh, I wish I could sing like that. You see, it's easy to take something with a blessing and make it kind of about us. Or when you've been looking for a job, or you interview for the same job as someone, all of a sudden, that person gets the job and you don't. You've been praying for a boyfriend, girlfriend for a long time. And all of a sudden, somebody else gets that boyfriend, girlfriend. And it's easy to let your heart get a little jealous and not be grateful. But let me tell you, if you begin to discipline yourself in gratefulness, God will begin to open up doors for you to move you forward in your life. He's always concerned about the process. And so if we can start rejoicing with other people, I mean, I know it's so funny. You see it on Facebook, oh, great, you know, I like this. Although you're really saying, I wish I was there. I'm at work, you know, and they're out in the mountains, you know, having a great time. If there was a jealous button, you'd say, jealous. But if we can really learn to rejoice in others' joys, God will begin to open up doors for us. So in Numbers 14, there's a story, and it really is about the children of Israel. If you remember, God had parted the Red Sea, so they walked across the Red Sea. In some say it's the Reed Sea, which is another sea that's in that area. And to me, it's even more of an amazing miracle because the Reed Sea is only, you know, a few inches tall. So if he could drown a whole army in that, that's pretty amazing. So, but they've gone there, and they have seen God's hand work. How many of you have seen God's hand work in your life? I mean, work in your life. I can remember at 14 or 15 years old when I was in Southern Baptist Church heading to Ridgecrest. Anybody been to Ridgecrest? And my group, my church, had their bus, and they were heading there. And I had to go my senior year. I went on our senior trip, and they were going to Canada for our senior trip. And so I was going to meet the rest of them in Ridgecrest. I'm heading to Canada, and they're like, everything's going to be taken care of on the way back. Somebody's going to meet you at the airport, and they're going to meet you and transfer you through customs, and you'll be able to go. I was what they call an unaccompanied minor, so you'll be able to actually go and meet your group. My mother said, okay, that sounds good. So had a great time in Canada. I'm excited to go meet my church group, and I go to the airport in Quebec City where I speak no French, and they are all speaking French, and nobody's there. I'm like 14, 15. Not a person to meet me, like they said. They dropped me off. See ya. Whew, here I am. So I go to the counter, and everything is in French. And I am like a deer in headlights. Now, can you imagine, 14, 15-year-old, can never been out of the country. It's my first trip. And all I kept thinking was, God, I need you to help me. And I'm praying, God, and I'm about to cry. And all of a sudden, this man comes up to me, and he starts speaking to me in Spanish. That's strange. In Quebec City. And I'm like, hablo español. He goes, well, I speak English too. I'm like, oh, thank God. And I said, I'm trying to go, and I get look at my ticket. I said, I'm trying to go from here to JFK. And he says, oh, I'm on that flight. He said, follow me. I'll help you to get on that flight. So thank God. So I'm talking to him, and we get through JFK. He takes me through customs. He goes, you have to do this, this, this. I'm walking through customs, and I get into JFK Airport, and he's like, where are you going now? I said, I'm going to Charlotte, North Carolina. He goes, oh, I'm going to Charlotte. Like, God, you are pretty amazing. So this all of a sudden getting more and more relieved, and he's heading to Charlotte. So I'm flying with him to Charlotte, and we're getting to Charlotte, and I'm like, I need to go to this place called Asheville. He goes, oh, what, you know, that's my final destination. And I'm thinking, okay, God, you're really awesome, because I wasn't sure even how I was going to find the airplane, and here you got somebody sitting. So I am thanking God, and he sits in the back of this last plane. Now, the other ones, he happened to be next to me, so we talked the entire time. He's in the very last seat in this one. So I arrive at Asheville, and my whole church group is going to meet me at the airport. They're all there, and I walk out, and they have a sign, welcome Keith and all this. I'm like, hey. And I'm like, it's so odd. This guy that was behind me led me through the whole thing, and he said, there was nobody behind you. There was no one else on that plane when we got off. So either he snuck off on the tarmac, or that was an angel. Because let me tell you, every step of the way of my life in that trip, he was there. And when I turned, and we all got chills as soon as we turned around, they said, Keith, nobody got off that plane behind you. So God took care of that situation in our life. He's a God that can just do anything in our life. So I don't know what you're faced with now, but I know what he can do in your life because he's done it in mine. Think of the things in your life that he's done. Think of where he's taken you from to where you are today. That's pretty amazing. He can take something that's happened in the past, although painful, and turn it into something for his good. As long as we allow, like prison, right, Kathy?
Sure.
If you don't, she... Both. She said jail changed her life, because that's when she really reached out to God and really turned her heart to God. But God can do that. Now, in Numbers, they are complaining. After everything that took place, God did all that. They're murmuring about the food. Because there was manna. Remember, we talked about Jonah last week and that word manna, which means provision. And they're starting to complain because they don't have garlic and onions in Egypt. Now, they were in bondage in Egypt, yet they had garlic and onions. So ungratefulness will steal your time. It'll steal your energy. And it'll steal your joy. It's a choice. And it attempts to get you to abort God's plan for your life. When there's a plan for your life, when we begin to start be ungrateful, all of a sudden, we are allowing that plan to possibly be aborted because of our attitude and because of the things that we're actually focusing on. And then it keeps you in the past. I was talking to my cousin last night, and my family's very close. I have three really good cousins. We're all about the same age. Their mom has been very, very ill. As a matter of fact, she almost died. And she's been in the hospital for 3 months so far. She had a stroke and she got septic. A whole bunch of things happened. And the kids started fighting. You know how that happens when there's stressful things taking place? So it's Thanksgiving and we always get together. And now my cousin Dee Dee's not coming because of this. Because what happened was she heard something on their phone. They thought they had hung up and it kept going. So she heard what they really were saying about her. Anything like that ever happened to you when you really find out what people are saying behind your back? Now, this is her favorite holiday. She always says it is. Mine, too. And I'm probably closer to her than anybody else in my family. I'm really, really close to her. And so I was talking to my mom. She goes, she's not coming. And, you know, and I said, I'm going to call her. So I just called and I left a message. But I said, my mom says you're not coming. And I said, I think it's a shame if you allow your offense to steal your holiday from you. It's like drinking poison and expect the other person to die. You know, offense. You're allowing that offense to come in from your past and affect your present. She says, well, I know it's going to happen. When I get there, they're going to be fake. And I said, but that doesn't matter. Because you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. You know, the rest of the family's going to be there. See what I'm getting at? Sometimes we allow things from our past to stop us from going forward with him. And that's the real things when it comes to relationships. You guys might have a perfect family. Politics always comes up. Everything else always comes up. I'm from Louisiana. You know, all kinds of stuff comes up. But it's a choice to actually go forward or to stay where you're at. And offense likes to keep you in the past. Psalms 118:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I think I heard a song about that this morning. It says, his steadfast love endures forever. And 116 times are we told in the Bible to give thanks to God. It will do things in your life when you're grateful. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. And then it says this, thank God in some things. Thank God in most things. Give thanks to God when things are going well. No? In all things, be thankful to God. You see, it's about an attitude. It's not about the things going on in your life, because I guarantee you a year from now, a lot of these things that are so major in your life, you're going to completely forget they even happened. Humans, we tend to focus on those small things in our life. And the scripture that says the little foxes spoil the vine. Lately, I was telling someone I wasn't feeling very appreciated, and it really got to me, you know, and I don't really need to feel appreciated, but I was feeling unappreciated, and that just kept going on in my head over and over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Especially when you're a giver, and you're like, and honestly, I don't really do a lot of things for me. I really do like to help people, and it was really getting to me, and all of a sudden, God says, yeah, I felt that way before. I'm like, oh, man. Let me kind of just have a little pity party, a little bit. But yeah, I felt unappreciated, Keith. Yeah, that was pretty powerful. So, as a church, where we're at right now, I feel like we're on a different turn, if that makes sense. How many of you have been here for a long time? Like, long time, saying 5 years or more. Okay. So we've seen our church go through a lot of different things, and this is a different type of path that I'm sensing. And this coming year, I want you to pray, because we're really praying for hear God's voice about the vision of our church, where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do. We keep hearing outside of the walls. But I also need you to be in a grateful, thankful attitude. Ouch. Because let me tell you, the first thing that the devil will come in, if we begin to have an ungrateful, unthankful attitude, is he will abort any plans God has for us to go forward in this church. And a lot of times we project things from our own life onto others that are not even taking place. Most groups of people, you have that take place. And I think if people would just actually speak and talk, it would solve most of the issues, instead of saying, well, they didn't do this or they didn't do that. Make sense? And we would kind of do that. Even in our families, if we just were honest, it would be so much easier than trying to assume. Assuming is a really bad thing to do, right? So thankfulness, it doesn't depend on what's taking place in our life. It really depends on what he is and what he's done in our life. And here's my favorite verse. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Anybody have anxiety? All right, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and... See, we pray, but we don't thank. And if you don't have the two together, it's kind of like we baked a cake last night. Ed and I did. We did that together. He worked and didn't mix it really well. But it's kind of like saying, okay, I didn't add any eggs, so I still have a cake. I did add eggs, but if I were to have prayer without thanksgiving, it would be like having a cake with no eggs. So you have to have both to actually make that cake. But listen to what the Message Bible says. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's a wonderful thing what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So if you do have anxiety, it says to be grateful. I think every one of us here has something to be grateful of. Just really quick before we end, raise your hand. Somebody tell me what you're grateful for. Just shout it out. Or family. This church. We're grateful for you. Josh, that's a great one. Salvation. Amen. That's good. And I'm going to close with this. When I was in Bible college years ago, rode our bikes to a leper colony, 25 miles. And we got there, and it was an interesting experience. And here we are, you know, we're going to be the men and women of God coming to this leper colony, you know, and go teach them about Jesus. And you know how we are, right? So we get to this leper colony, and a lot of the people, they can't see because things get in their eye or they touch right, and they don't have the pain. So they scratch their corneas. And then when they're cooking or they touch hot plates, they can't feel. So a lot of them have very few fingers or the nubs. And so we were all sitting at a table, and I never forget this man. And we're talking about, you know, thankful. He said, you need to be thankful for pain. He said, because I wish I could feel pain. And so even pain in your life, we need to be thankful for that, because you know what? Without it, we would have no idea a lot of things taking place in our life, and we'd be scarred all over the place. Amen. So I just want you to think of how good God is, and that his mercy endures forever, that he loves us with an unending love. And Zephaniah, it says, he bowed down to us. There's so much to be grateful for and to be thankful for, because he's a good God. Amen. So if you just stand for a second, we're going to pray with the food. And if you don't usually stay, take a few minutes to stay and just meet some people maybe you've never met before. It'll be a really great thing. So Father, I thank you that your word says you are good and your mercies last forever. They endure and last forever. What I pray for is that you continue to lead us and guide us. I pray for safety for those who are traveling. I pray for families here, Lord, that it's a time of fun and fellowship, but that you're the center of those times with our family. That you continue, Lord, to work on the hearts of our family. That they continue to see Christ in us, and that they continue to just sense your presence in our lives. I thank you for that. And I bless this food and the fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll see you guys next week.